Welcome back to Transistor Radio. My name is John from Asianometry. I'm here with Dylan Patel from SemiAnalysis and Doug O'Loughlin from Fabricated Knowledge. We are back after a little bit of a break. Say hello, guys.
Hello. I don't know what you mean by a little bit of a break, dude. Before you were here, our breaks were like 4 months at a time, and now it's we don't hit weekly, like, you're making us feel bad.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say, I feel like we're off break schedule. We're back to the mines, man. That's what's really going on. We're back to the content mines. John's like, dude, why don't we have three podcasts a week? You know, if we up the cadence, readership can go higher. So,
yeah, may not seem like the whip cracker, right? You know, on this podcast, he's quite quiet, right? He just lets Doug and I sort of argue, but you know, deep down, he's actually just baiting us into arguments.
He's the actual power behind the scenes. He's the real mastermind. So, what are we talking about this week? Honestly,
we got a few topics. Let's start with TSMC earnings. TSMC reported earnings earlier this week. Was it last week? I don't remember. But it's like everyone's got to talk about it. So, what do you guys think?
All right, Doug. So they literally just said the most wild thing ever, right? They were like, yeah, Intel, fucking scrubs. Oh. Dude, backside power delivery doesn't even matter. Gate all around doesn't matter. Our 3-nanometer is better. Like, woohoo, spicy.
Yeah, I think that was, the rest of it honestly wasn't really that interesting of a call. But I think the exact quote is, we have similar PPA with N3P versus 18A, and it's cheaper, and we're getting to time. We're getting to market earlier, and then 2-nanometer without BS backside power delivery is more advanced than 18A, so they can suck it. And essentially, they're saying Intel's you know, 5 nodes, 4 years, dead on arrival. Now, to be clear, TSMC is obviously going to talk up their book, right? Like, Intel has to say, hey, we're going to get into the lead. TSMC is going to be like, hey, how could we ever lose the lead? I want to see transistor density benchmarks, right? That's really what's going to matter in the end.
All right, John. And also, is it cope or not? Cope or not, John?
I mean, if you read the actual quote in terms of the context, looks like he's just being saying, you know, we're doing good. We're doing all right. N3P also is like about 2 years out, right? I mean, they got enough time.
I think N3P will be in production end of next year.
End of next year, so that's like 20.
They'll beat them slightly to market. That's what it. Right. So I want to ask though. This is a question for Dylan. The backside power delivery thing, not only is it supposed to have a density increase, but it's supposed to increase the utilization of cell utilization anyways, because less dead cores from higher power delivery. Is that in the transistor density count? Or is that not, like, you know, I don't know.
Right? So there's the metric, and it's called routed density, right? And so, you know, people always talk up, like, they hype up, like, SRAM bit cell size, and then they hype up like this theoretical transistor density, right? Which is if every cell was placed perfectly, right? Sort of basically, right? And so you end up, John's taking a picture of us to put on his Instagram right now. the routed density is like what you actually achieve, right? Like, you know, hey, like this chip has 50 billion transistors and it's this big, right? Like, so sort of like routed density is actually what matters. You know, there's a whole lot of technicality that goes into, like, what is the theoretical versus what can you achieve on routed. But backside power should help you, in the case of, like, you're using, like, a bunch of small cells, right? Like, or cells that you can, like, highly optimize, right? Like a scan flip-flop or a NAND, right? And I think that's the ratio is, like, it's 40% NAND gates. Or maybe something like that, and 60% scan flip-flops. I don't remember exactly. It's the Mark Bohr metric that people like to use. So if you lay that out, it's like the interconnect density doesn't matter nearly as much as it does for actual chips, right? And so, you know, Intel, by doing backside power, presumably has very good interconnect density on the signal side, right? Because the power gets ripped out and it's only on the power side. Right, sort of is the whole, like, thought process. And, you know, you were at VLSI in Japan, right? They presented about this. right? They presented how backside power helps them increase their cell area utilization, which is effectively, right, like, what is your routed density versus your theoretical, right? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
The routed density, they're like 99%, baby. Like, and obviously, you know, that's VLSI. We're going to see what, like, I want to see production. Like, that's end of the day. I want to see production, but it's like, I feel like it's like a classic round of benchmark gaming before it even comes out. Everyone's like, well, no, ours is better. And they compare it against like a weird version or a weird SKU. And at the end of the day, we want to see both of the chips in high volume manufacturing, because Intel has problems getting any nodes into high volume manufacturing. And let's see who has a better chip. I would love for old daddy Intel to come back. Comeback story of the ages, hopefully.
Do you think 18A is going to be comparable in cost to N3P?
Yeah, should be. The EV layer
decreases. I think Intel will cost them a lot more, but they'll just eat the margin, right?
Yeah. We'll see. So allegedly, it's supposed to be that you're supposed to be saving in EV layers. In reality, I'm going to guess the rushing of the node to market is going to lead to some inefficiencies. Like, I just don't imagine a world where Intel doesn't, like, have that TSMC dog in him, you know? Like, they've been running with a lot of slack for a long time. We're going to see, right? And also, the difference between a Taiwanese node and a U.S. node is like, a you know, probably, like, a 50% cost of labor difference. So, we'll see.
Yeah, interesting. Anything else about the TSMC earnings? You said that there was nothing particularly interesting.
Go first, Dylan.
No, I mean, it was mostly the like node thing was the most interesting thing. Everything else was, you know, pretty boring. Well, except for like there's this big fight about like what is TSMC going to spend next year, right? And so there's that big fight about that, right? Is that sort of like, I think like multiple different sell-siders tried to like get TSMC to comment on CapEx for next year. And TSMC just continued to be like, yeah, like we're going to be higher for the next few years before it starts to decrease. Right.
The CapEx intensity comment. Slight wording in there too, that makes it seem like in absolute dollars, it goes up. Right. So I have the quote in front of me.
Which, by the way, is very non-consensus, right? Like, consensus is, yes. I don't know about sell side because I don't read sell side, but buy side is like, yeah, $28, $30 billion of CapEx, whereas this year it's $32 billion, right?
Also, the consensus got tricked and psyoped by DigiTimes, and DigiTimes is always wrong. So for context, okay, I also want to set the scene. Close your eyes. Imagine DigiTimes saying, Q4 CapEx spend is going to be dog shit. In fact, it's going to be, we're going to lower full year to 30 billion, some as low as 29, 28 billion. Q4 CapEx off a cliff. TSMC comes out and they're like, yeah, 32 billion like we originally planned. That was a shock, allegedly, because DigiTimes said there was a cut. DigiTimes is I want to repeat this. Every single time I write about it, it's a rumor tabloid from out of Taiwan as you shouldn't trust it. So that's like one of the big things. Next year, they say probably they talked about being flat in CapEx in absolute terms. I think that if the market accelerates, we could see something like positive by the end of the year. But just like everyone else, no one really knows what next year's going to look like. I think everyone is waiting to be reactive to what the end market is going to be like. I think there is one other thing I wanted to talk about, and that's mostly about the HPC composition. Because it implies that everyone ex NVIDIA is decelerating. Q over Q from HPC was 6%. Now COGS versus revenue, you know, that's not quite linear. But
what is that in dollars? Do you know what that is in dollars?
Oh, bro, I don't have that in front of me. Come on, man. So Q over Q, essentially. We could go figure this number out, but just like do some big math here. NVIDIA is a pretty big part of that HPC bucket. It's probably the largest individual component right now.
I'm just thinking, right, like if NVIDIA is like $4 billion of quarter-on-quarter growth, right, and their gross margin is 75%, right, to call it simple, then it's $1 billion of COGS, but then of that $1 billion of COGS, you know, half of it is memory, right? So really it's only $500 million of growth, right? And that's if you say $4 billion, you know, for simple math sake, right?
So yes, that's one way to put it down, but I'm even dumber level. They guided for Q over Q growth of 20%. HVC grew 6% Q over Q. Assuming we're going to make the assumption that BOM is flat here, right? BOM of memory one quarter, BOM of memory next quarter. What that implies for the rest of HPC is down. And we just got confirmation on SK Hynix, who reported like literally 30 minutes ago, that XAI server is slowing and building inventory right now. So I just think that that's also like, the company that I have in mind here is AMD. Intel to a certain extent is as well, but like server demand, XAI servers, I think is, this is probably the strongest data point we have that it's shitty, so.
So you were talking about this earlier in the DMs, right? In the Discords, right? You were talking about it. AMD is looking bad, right? And your thesis is, you know, to simplify it, right? I think is hey, like you look at this TSMC, right? Their quarter on quarter growth for HPC is garbo, right? And then you stack on like. And if you think about it, it's just AI, right? You know, actually AI is even more so, right? And AMD still isn't ramping that right yet, of course. And so the question is like, you're basically, and of course PC is still like not really recovering and Intel is not really doing so great. I mean, sorry, AMD's not really doing market share gains in PC anyways. Apple fell off a cliff. So PC sales are probably garbage too, right? So your argument is like AMD is gonna, maybe not miss, but it won't look good. Is sort of what you're.
They won't. Yeah. So a high level, man. The AMD story up until this year was beat the shit out of numbers every single time, right? Every single time they guided, and they'll be like, oh, 20% revenue, and you're like doing the math on this, and you're like, how the fuck is this possible? This is gonna grow 20% revenue, and every single or if it wasn't revenue, it'd be gross margin. It'd be like. Oh, our gross margin is going to be down next quarter. And they're like, dude, isn't servers your highest gross margin? It was like, well, there's ramp costs. And the next quarter would come out and they would just beat the crap out of estimates every single quarter. AMD barely eked out a beat this last quarter. I think this next quarter we're going to see the cannibalization come. And the biggest winner in the previous dynamic, which was AMD taking share from Intel and everyone else, is probably going to be the biggest loser for the implied expectations in AMD. And I have the exact quote. This year saw a temporary decline in demand for general servers due to the rapid increase in AI server oriented spending within budgets. And that is out of SK Hynix's mouth, who sells HBM into AMD probably as well. So like there is...
you're referring to right earlier was hyperscale CapEx, right? Like Google's CapEx was kind of weak.
Kind of garbo.
Their TPU ramp is unchanged. So that means their regular server CapEx is fucking garbo, right? And then Microsoft was like, it was good, right?
They said up at Q4 and then next year they'll be positive, but like they also like it was below expectations. It was below the ramp that they implied. They say, hey, that's timing of shipments. That'll be like heavier in Q4. So all in, it's lower than what we expected. And they said, hey, we're still spending on AI. NVIDIA just put out the 8K saying, hey, our near-term results, no comment on earnings. So all in. You kind of stack it up, and like the clear loser is AMD CPUs. And so, like, this is not investment advice, okay? But I really think that there is a little bit of weakness here. And then, if you want to get even more Galaxy Brain, you know, just one more step in the this is not investment thesis. Chart looks bad. So on top of that, it broke the 200 day, and don't kill me for being a chartist. It broke the 200 day. It's the first time it's been below it all year. You roll that all together, and that actually sounds like a really good AMD thesis to me. So I think that we're gonna see in the coming week. Yeah, it's also on Halloween, spooky. So you have all these factors together. These extremely qualitative and real factors.
AMD's reporting on Halloween. It's over. It's over. Short it.
Put that on a hedge fund investment memo, guys. Halloween. Little pumpkin emojis.
they're gonna change the logo from red to orange. Like, that's how bad it is,
man.
Can you
write a post and just do spooky season? Like, just call it spooky season or something?
I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna change. Okay, so my weekend post, it was just gonna be weekly earnings. Spooky earnings season. That is just for you, Dylan.
There we go. And then on top of this, I want to take like the opposite side of you, which is I don't think anyone's gonna give a shit, and I think that everyone's gonna see this, gonna see say whatever. But all the MI300 checks are looking better. You know, something like 60,000 MI300s maybe in or 50,000 in Q4, second half of this year. And then ramping to above that quarterly, I think people are going to be a little bit more positive, you know, on the you know, because everything is clean, right? PC is digested, right? Data center CPU has bottomed. FPGA like already seeing the downtick, right? Like, and you can look at Lattice's chart and like same shit, right? Like Lattice is you know probably a short anyways, but you know that's actually
we'll talk about
that in a second.
Well, I was gonna say you know why Lattice is a short in my opinion. It's less about Intel. It's more about the supply of stock now, if that makes sense. Does that make any sense? So, like, up until now, if you have wanted to buy an FPGA company, just throw away the buying an FPGA like card and think about buying and selling FPGA stock. The supply of FPGA bets have been going down.
So I'm curious, what ridiculously stupid investor wants to bet on the FPGA market as a whole?
I don't know, man. But also, you could do some comps here. Lattice trades for like 30 times EBIT. It's pretty expensive for what it is. For context, I think that Lattice and the Altera companies are like actually very similar size in terms of enterprise value. We'll say I think Lattice is like a $10 billion EV. Altera is like a $15 billion EV, but Altera has 2 times more revenue. No, actually, no, 2.5 times more revenue. Lattice is just a really expensive stock, and I understand why it's done the way it has recently. But I think that Altera
The guy came in from AMD and he cleaned everything up, right? Like, and so my viewpoint of why it's a short is not because, you know, and there's not investment advice, but it's not because of like, you know, anything beyond the fact that like, okay, all the sort of low hanging fruit is clean. They really got the operational stuff going, right? And then FPGAs are the most like slow and was at one point the tightest market too, right? And so like I think that is the biggest, you've used this analogy a lot on your newsletter, right? It's like first in, first out in like the cycles of semiconductors, and like FPGA feels like that's the last in, last out, right? Maybe AI is the last in, last out.
You know, I think FPGA is probably last out because this year is still doing well. This has to be the last out. I want to see what, and also fun fact, at some point, the head of sales was the former at this company that Microchip bought, and this is for like the real shorts out there. But like the former head of sales at one point literally worked at this company that like stuffed the channel. So like, I don't know what else you want to hear, but like that sounds pretty bad. I'm looking at the head of sales.
The other part of the thesis that, you know, Mule kind of dismissed slightly was the fact that Intel is spinning out their FPGA division, right? And why that's relevant is because they're specifically releasing low-end FPGAs, which they haven't done in years, right? You know, they've sort of so like this is the recipe of like, hey, like we're spinning out so you can execute on your own. B, you have your own low-end FPGAs coming to market, which means you can actually fight with Lattice. It's just like a rest, and like because you're spun out, like who cares if you cut your margins, right? Like I think right now, you know, Altera is like the highest margin part of Intel's data center business. Actually, the whole company probably, right?
Yes, the whole company.
Yeah, so it's the highest margin part of the business, and it's like, well, now we can cut, right? Like fuck it, like you know, let's get ready.
Yeah, I just think that Lattice has had like almost this perfect storm. And it's time for maybe the storm to be over. So, anyways, let's move on. I'm a hater. I'm actually really. We'll see what AMD's like.
Speaking of shitcos, right? Do you want to talk about Qualcomm? I'm just kidding.
Yes, let's talk about Qualcomm, dude.
What's sad is I'm in Mexico City right now. The F1 races this weekend, but like I tried to look up the chart stock, and I'm like, it's telling me it's 1,900 Mexican pesos, and I don't know what the fuck that means. God damn.
You need wow. That's
it's Google. It's Google, right? Google automatic.
Wow, dude, I'm depressed, man. How dare you use pesos to me? What was I gonna say?
We got to talk about these new chips from Qualcomm.
What are these new chips, John?
So it looks like we got this new Snapdragon 10 Elite. I don't know anything about Qualcomm names, man.
Is it X AI or Elite? Is it X or Elite? Platform.
Is it? Yeah, it's X Snapdragon X Elite, the AI supercharged platform to revolutionize the PC. It has the
I don't know if you know this, John, but there's actually Qualcomm fanboys out there in the world, right? Like, I mean, I know we come from like an era where like there's Intel and AMD and Nvidia fanboys, but there's actually people that are fanboys of Qualcomm out there, right? And you know, the way Qualcomm cultivated this fanboy group is absolutely hilarious. They have this thing called the Snapdragon Insiders Program, where they basically fly a bunch of people from the third world, sort of India, Indonesia, Brazil, sort of these large countries where mobile computing is the primary form of computing, right? But very large countries. And they fly these people out that are the top social media like influencers for Qualcomm, but not necessarily like content creators, right? Like YouTube wise, they of course fly all these YouTube creators out as well to their Snapdragon summits. And these people are like actual, like I met the Brazilians and I was like, holy fuck, you people like Qualcomm.
Well, they make it rain, dude. Also like, okay, I'm actually looking at this. So it's mostly on lower power, correct? So I'm going to assume this is an embedded into a laptop chip. Like, this is a laptop chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? But the performance the claims that they have are pretty mean, right? Better than Apple, better than Intel, like significantly better. They're talking about like 75% lower power consumption versus Intel, and like, I don't remember the exact claim, like 25% better performance, more or less versus Apple, right? Of course, you know, first party benchmarks are always garbage, but like, you know, what they showed is like pretty like impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and you just like look at it and you're like, yeah, okay, this actually makes a lot of fucking sense. My question is, what about Nvidia? No, I'm just kidding. Did you hear that? Yeah, because Nvidia allegedly is also making a PCs, aka laptop chip, sometime next year as well.
So you know, Reuters had this story, right? Stephen Neflis and Max Cherny. My favorite folks from Reuters, of course, only people I know from Reuters that I've met, right? So it's like those two put out a story that said NVIDIA is working on an ARM laptop chip, right? And so, or not, sorry, ARM chip for PCs. And so people are like going crazy speculating over it, right? Like, what exactly is it? You know, the thing is, like, NVIDIA has been hiring for this sort of for a couple years now. But the, you know, there's a flurry of rumors, right? Like, some people think it's, hey, they're just going to stick Grace Hopper in workstations and put Windows on them, right? And then like try and make the de facto like workstation. So other people think that you know, Nvidia is going to try and get into like Windows handheld gaming, right? So resell the same chip that the Switch 2 is going to have, right? Because the Nintendo Switch 2 is going to come out pretty soon, I think next year. And that has a new, you know, upgraded chip, for example. And then there's sort of round three, which is that it's a laptop chip. And actually, that NVIDIA makes. And then there's actually round four, which is the Taiwanese media has said, and this is UDN, which is not quite DigiTimes, but it is pretty devious, right? They did post all of the same stuff about CapEx cuts in 23 and 24, for example. They said that MediaTek is making the SoC and CPU stuff, and NVIDIA is going to make the GPU, and they're going to package it together with CoWoS. And I'm like, no fucking way this is real, but, you know, maybe.
All right. Do we have anything to reply to that, Doug?
I have no reply, dude. Honestly, I just think it's fucking funny.
Do people care about CPUs anymore? Like, is that a thing?
No, not
still?
Really. I only do for my Intel bag thesis, okay? Which actually, if you want to talk, let's talk PCs actually, because I also have some spicy new deets to. I don't know when this podcast comes out, but Windows OEM revenue is positive year over year in for Microsoft, which is like probably one of the best read throughs that we have into the entire market that was particularly driven by the commercial, which, like, what the hell is commercial? Dude, you're asking the wrong person. It sounds like there's a Windows 11 upgrade that's being slightly pushed due to Copilot, allegedly. I don't know, man. But that and actually personal electronics, which has PC and smartphones within Texas Instruments, was also really positive. So we're actually seeing positive chat. We're seeing like positive dynamics in the PC market and maybe a little bit in the smartphone market for like kind of the first time ever. So that's kind of good news. I don't know. Maybe Intel puts out good numbers. Who the hell knows?
Windows revenues.
Well, there is like, you know, no one cares about CPUs, but like all anyone's talking about with regards to these chips is AI, right? Like, you know, like Qualcomm's like talking about, hey, we can run Llama 7 billion. Hey, we can run Llama 13 billion on our PC chip, right? Like, and I'm like, no one wants to fucking use that model. Have you actually ever used that model? Right? It's like, no, this is garbage, right? Even it's like 3.5 is painful to use now, right? Like 3.5 is painful to use now versus 4. Like, I hate it. And it's like Llama, even 70B is significantly worse. Right, like for all the like hype of like, hey, Mistral 7 billion is great, it's still garbage, right? Compared to like GPT 3.5, let alone 4.
The thing that was interesting for me for Microsoft was that they're starting to say that AI actually makes money for them, though mostly right now on like Azure side. Well, that was something I've always been curious about. Like, is AI?
Is that monopoly money that they handed to OpenAI? Then OpenAI spends $500 million of cloud credits in one quarter.
Yeah, that's also possible.
Yeah, so that's part of it, but it does seem like so I don't know what the hell went on there, but one, Azure accelerated quarter over quarter, and they're guiding for a flat quarter over quarter. What's pretty clear is that within the Azure mix, OpenAI beat the hell out of estimates for them. It's a small part of the big picture, but their business strategy, they said this on the call, was we'll make money on any part of the stack, whether if it's OpenAI selling consumer, whether if it's you know, AI as a service, as in like, you know, OpenAI selling to consumers as a managed service, whether OpenAI is an API to someone else, whether if it's someone else using their cloud, aka OpenAI using theirs, or even a competitor using Azure. So they're trying to be like allegedly AI agnostic to ride the wave no matter how it happens. But we're starting to see it in revenue for the first time ever. How meaningful is it? I don't freaking know. It's growing off a very small base, very, very fast. And for them, it managed to save the cloud. Like, it really, truly was extremely positive, and their revenue accelerated when all their competitors, when Google, rather, cough, cough, the big competitor, decelerated, so.
You know, the other thing about Google is, I don't know, Satya seemed to stealthily, like, I don't know if he openly was saying it or stealthily saying it, but, like, someone was asking about Gemini, and his quote was really funky, right? He said basically what felt like to me is he's saying it's delayed to 2024, right? Which is like, what the fuck are Google?
Oh, you mean Google's? Yes. Yeah. It's delayed to 2024. Do you have the quote in front of you? I could like.
Yeah, I do. I do. So I was like, he's like, Gemini, you know, obviously it's an effort from our combined DeepMind team. Very excited about the progress as we're working through getting the model ready. To me, more importantly, we are really laying the foundation of what I think as the next generation series of models we'll be launching throughout 2024. So like, I don't know what that means, but like, it sounds like
Google,
he's saying Gemini is 2024.
Google is allergic to shipping. That's what he's saying.
What do you mean? I opened up www.google.com without ad block on, and I got 6 ads.
Well,
they shipped me a lot of ads.
Oh my god! No, I'm mostly talking about the fact that killed by Google. Like, truly, they are very impressively good at destroying very loved products historically. Some very even successful products. Now, to be clear, I don't think they're going to kill this one, but I mean, they might try.
John,
buddy,
hot take time. Do you think Sundar should be replaced by someone else?
No, I don't think so. I don't even know what he does. Does he even know? Does he even do? Has he even done
no
anything?
No one knows what anyone does.
He just lets the checks come in, right? Like, that thing just makes buttloads of money.
I think he did a really great job with Android, to be fair, right? Like getting Android to critical mass and, like, negotiating with every OEM to drop their bullshit and adopt Android, like really good job, right? And convincing app companies to, like, maybe CEO, treat them as only a second-class citizen instead of, like, a seventh-class citizen, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think was a big deal, right? So he did a really good job with Android because he ran Android before he, you know, became CEO. But yeah, I don't know. Like, there's the whole, like, wartime versus peacetime CEO thing, right? Like, what do you think, Doug?
Yeah, dude, he's a Google CEO, man. I don't know. I think Google is where initiative goes to die, where resting investing is known best. And I don't, just based on, like, the things I've read, the people I talk to there, it's like 1,000 fiefdoms, all financed by the big Google search. And truly, 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 compared to any other company their size with that much clout and that much resources, they ship at a ridiculously slow rate.
That's a pretty good one, right?
Almost a perfect
Bell Labs analogy. Invented all this fiber shit, the transistor, all this stuff, and Google invented, like, the transformer and, like, you know, all this stuff, right? Like, it's like, okay. But then do they monetize it?
One of my favorite ones, when I used to follow the cloud companies a lot closer, is, like, serverless was this ginormous, and it still is, very important, blah, 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 blah. Serverless was this giant, interesting thing. Dude, Google invented it in, like, 2013. They're like, nah. And then Amazon essentially brought it to market, became the largest part of market share there. So it's just, like, really interesting watching them just, like, over and over and over and over, just, like, shoot themselves in as many feet as they can have.
To extend this, like, analogy, right, to, like, Bell Labs, right? Like, Bell Labs was amazing, didn't ship stuff, though, but they did invent everything, right? And then they got blown up. And, you know, even in the meanwhile, everyone was, like, monopolizing all the technology, right? Bell Labs invented Transistor, but, you know, other companies actually commercialized it, right? In the same sense you're saying about Google. So is Lina Khan about to do the smackdown on Google?
I don't know. I mean... the difference was, Ma Bell was, like, a regulated monopoly. Like, it literally was, like, a natural monopoly, like, ordained and blessed by the government. A little different than Google. But I do think the Google monopoly profits being reinvested into the funky little lab, that is, like, probably the best analogy.
Except that, Ma Bell had to license all of their technologies out to whoever, to nonprofits, to whoever wanted it at, like, a reasonable price. So that's how
it's even better.
Right?
Google just releases them without, like, you know, like,
have you heard of open source, baby?
All right. I think we've talked enough on that. How about Kokusai? You want to talk about Kokusai?
I think we're pretty like full on the episode. No, it's already like 30 minutes.
Okay, I want to say one thing. One, I was too lazy to write about it. Dylan posted his thing on Kokusai and I was like, ah, fuck, I'm good. I was going to actually just signal boost Dylan saying it's a stonk, but it's a stonk. It's still a stonk, actually. Popped 30%
on day one.
Jesus, I
didn't look at it. It popped 32% day zero, or day one,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. I put in a market order.
I
don't think I got filled.
It's a stonk.
Yeah, it's a stonk.
It's
really simple.
It's still a stonk.
It's still a stonk. I mean, it's really simple, dude. It's actually a pretty simple thesis, right? Memory, bad. Next year, memory has to be better than this year. You know what they sell a lot of? Shit to memory. It's like, and also, they did it like the most Japanese IPO of all time. It's just like stupidly priced. It's always stupidly priced. You know, they had an initial price range and they actually lowered it, which I think is insane to me. Tons of demand, and they're like, no, actually, we're going to lower it for a bigger pop. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does make sense when you think about the fact that, like, they only floated, like, I can't remember if it's in my post, but it's like 15, 20%, whatever, right? 25% maybe. But, you know, come 6 months from now, a year from now, they actually want to be able to offload the, you know, a whole lot more, right? Like, AKR does not want to sit, you know, I assume AKR doesn't want to hold, you know, half the company, right?
So there's actually a really good analogy. I don't know if you wrote about it in your post. I thought you did. Maybe you didn't. Socionext. Socionext is probably is this merger between Fujitsu and Panasonic that essentially does the design for, I think, the analog design for the chip companies. And they did a super low float IPO. and stock went up like 300% in a year, and then they dumped a ton of shares. It literally goes down 40% in a month. That will happen at some point. It's gonna happen. But that being said, it could also go up like another 100%. Who knows? It's a stonk.
KKR is one of those interesting private equity companies. They seem to do a lot in semis. Like they did NXP. They bought all those companies and made NXP. So I think that's a very, very interesting.
Have you done a video on them?
Well, I have a plans to do it, and I think I wanted to do a video about KKR and NXP, like what they did to that company, but it's kind of, I'm retiring from semis, so I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Dude, you're never retiring from semis. You never retire from semis.
Just to be clear for the folks on the podcast, right, John told us in July, was it, that he was in Taiwan when we were all there, right? I'm retiring from semiconductor videos. This one on ASML that's, you know, about to release is my last one. And then you know what he does? He releases his best video ever, which was the TSMC copper interconnect one, right? Like
yeah,
that
pretty
was
based.
A banger of a video. Literally my favorite video. Stop lying to the people. To the people about your ending semiconductor videos and start telling them the truth about the fact that you still have a full-time job and you need to have people subscribe to your Patreon so you can quit your full-time job.
I forgot it's time for us to talk about so before we go, subscribe to John's Patreon. Subscribe to John's Patreon. Honestly, John, drop your email. Drop your mail in the chat and we'll send you checks. We'll send you checks. Whatever needs to happen, send this man money so he can do this full time. I'm actually doing a little bit of. Also, I didn't see that you did a Brazil semiconductor industry one because I'm familiar with a very weird semiconductor industry Brazilian company. But since we last talked, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're gonna count VCRs as 7, 8, 9 videos on semiconductors. Cough, cough. John's never retiring. That's why he's co-host. Of Transistor Radio.
I need to start. Right now, I'm finishing. I'm burnt out. I'm going to have another lithography video tomorrow. Then I have.
Jesus.
I have to work on.
Didn't you? Like, this guy's like, I'm retiring from semiconductor videos. Canon announces something about nano imprint lithography. And I'm like too lazy to write it up. I think Doug might have written it up, but like, John does a freaking 30 minute long video.
I did some research about it. Honestly, I want to watch this video. Oh, dude, it's 20 minutes long. It's pretty interesting. John, what are your takes on nano imprinting lithography?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, we're quiet here.
I think it's going to work. I mean, they've been working for 9 years on it. I mean, the technology goes back, 30 years? I think it's interesting. I basically traced the lineage of the technology back from, 1995 when it was basically invented. And then
guess where it was invented, folks? Semitech. Fuckers invented EUV, invented nano imprint lithography, and then we just gave it away.
I think it's like some Minnesota guy. Some guy in Minnesota was like, I mean, the idea comes from the same tech that they use to make CDs, right? So they just like shrink it. I think the biggest problem is that like the prints, when the templates or the masks or whatever you want to call it, they seem to have a problem with that, with like the lineage of it. Like keeping it going, but they have this thing where they're gonna clone a mask many times, like 100 times or something, and use them for like 1,000 prints. Or right now it's at 300 prints, as far as I can tell. But I think it can work.
Wait, 300 prints per consumable?
Yeah, some consumable per template.
The
goal
really
is 1,000, and they hit 340 about 4 years ago.
And it's step and scan, right? So is it 300 like individual, not step and scan, but like sort of step and print? Is that 300 individual steps, or is it 300 like reticles, or is it 300 wafers? Because understanding, I talked to some folks, and it was like it's wafers. Okay, is that like it's just
that's
like,
not that many wafers, dude. Yeah. How many fucking masks are you gonna have to do for 100K wafer starts?
It's a lot. So I think but I think they got that under control. Seems like they're not worried about it. What they seem to be more worried about is the defect issue, and the defects do seem to be more of a problem because the metrology is not built out, and like you can't track.
Yeah, there's no way to do inline metrology for this at all. Right?
Oh, yeah. And so that's the big issue. You probably can't even do, can you even do, like, what the hell does overlay look like in this? Like, I can't even imagine how this is done.
Yeah.
Terribly.
But I think they're going to target memory first, NAND, and then after that, they're going to see if they can get themselves into logic later. I don't even think they have that on the plan, but right now.
Remind me, was it Kioxia that's doing the work with them?
Yeah, I think it's Kioxia. Kioxia worked with them for a long time. Like, they were the ones that hit the 340 wafer limit.
Dude, I can't wait till management gets ripped out by frickin' Bain, or whoever's in charge of this program gets ripped out by Bain and Western Digital and activists, and like everyone just gets laid off, and then it's like, oh no, I can't wait. It'll be sad, but it's like, yeah, this science project is over.
No, I think it'll work. I think it'll eventually do something.
I saw some presentations at SPIE lithography and patterning. It was actually pretty impressive.
I'm going to SPIE this year. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like the XRAM, the 3D, the Intel NAND DRAM hybrid. I forget what it's called.
XPoint 3D Crosspoint?
Yeah, it feels like this interesting niche technology it isn't the same type of technology, but it's like this weird niche to be pursued. Just energetically, it isn't. Does that make any sense? Just energetically, it's an interesting little. They're like, oh, if this works, it's going to be super revolutionary. But it's like, well, we'll see if it works.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be. I mean, I think it. I mean, that they're bringing it out to the market. I think it's worth a shot. I'm curious to see what the memory guys will think of it, and hopefully, but I don't think ASML needs to worry about it yet. They'll probably wait for Canon to do something, and once Canon figures out a breakthrough, they'll follow it. All right.
I mean, isn't that like the original story? Didn't they Nikon was the DUV leader, and they're like, well, twin screen, baby, goodbye.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else, guys? Anything else you want to talk about before we hang this up? I need to get going.
Yeah, I got to go too. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much for joining John's future trust fund announcement podcast. Hope it was good.
This is the John Y Foundation podcast sponsor. This is where we create his lasting children's legacy's future.
Oh my god!
Also, if you care about Western people getting interested in semiconductors and not and that being the engine of the entire economy, think about the fact that John has probably inspired more people to go want to work in the semiconductor industry than everyone who's listening to this podcast combined.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like that's how influential his videos are. So let's get him full time.
Yeah. I will double that again. I think that's a pretty good send off. I don't know how we're going to beat the send off next week, but we're going to figure it out, John. Just like Moore's law, Doug and Dylan's law is that every week we double our promotional activity for John for John of Asianometry. So I'm looking forward to what next week has in entail. I guess that's it for this week. I'm sure we'll have a lot of things to talk about next week. It's earnings season in midst. And so thanks for listening to Transistor Radio. We'll talk to you next time.
See you guys later.